when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, hey, you precious Blood River Radio family members out there tuning in. Thank you so much for tuning in. We had a marvelous first hour. In fact, I've got to, it just came upon me. I'd like to put something together with our distinguished brother and attorney, Sam Dixon, bring him on in the future to do this. Maybe a series. I'll announce that later if we're able to put it together. But anyway, we have my little sister, baby sister, Monica, the Braveheart Schaefer, coming on. She's got some great news. Well, it's not great news. I was just say she has the latest news about our dear brother, Alfred. And we also have, by the grace of God, we have a sister, big sister, Nancy, on because they have no power in Louisville. She's got tree limbs everywhere. I told her she needs to get a chainsaw, make money on the side, cutting limbs. And she says she might do that. But anyway, without further ado, we're going to let Sister Monica lead us off. I'm going to bring them in and out of the breaks. Y'all know the drill. It's going to be pretty much like the first hour, where I'm going to be pretty much just bringing our dynamite AAA host and guest in and out of the break. So go ahead, Sister Monica. Tell us, I know you've been gone a little bit here lately, but bring us in. Let our dear Blood River Radio family know what you're going to tell them tonight.
Yeah, okay, thanks, Eddie. And first I want to just say, Nancy, she's a true warrior. There she is with this big storm rocking her place and trees down everywhere and no electricity, and yet here she is. Way to go, Nancy, coming on the show, because nothing can stop us from, you know, participating here in the Blood River Radio broadcast.
That's right. Okay. That's right.
Yeah, that's right. Nothing will keep you away. That's great. Anyway, when you said great news, but I know you meant great in the sense of big,
correct,
big news, but it's not a surprise. Okay, the thugs in uniform did finally come to my brother Alfred's home in Germany. That's where he lives, to pick him up to go to jail, because, you know, he did have this go to jail. That's the card he drew. And he was supposed to show up. This is how it works there. If you've been convicted and sentenced for a crime, that's this type of crime where they're not worried about him, you know, doing some violent crime or whatever. Sorry, say again?
I said absconding. You're not worried.
Yeah,
they were not worried about him.
Yeah, that's right. But they send him a document to say show up at such and such a jail. And they did send him that letter after the verdict was final for a 6-month jail sentence. And they sent him that letter. He was supposed to show up August 3rd. Now, he could have done the easy thing and the safer route in terms of predictability and knowing that, you know, you're not going to be shot in the head or whatever, and just go to the jail that they named on August 3rd and say, here I am, take me in, make me your prisoner of war, because after all, this is a war and he is a political prisoner. And so that is a prisoner of war. But he did not do that. He chose to take the high ground and not be a traitor to our people and to a traitor to the truth and a traitor to basically our side fighting against this enemy, because doing that is kind of, like, okay, yeah, make me a prisoner of war. It's a bit traitorous, is it not? So he stayed home, but he's not running away, and he made no secret of that. He was continuing talking on interviews and radio shows and podcasts and whatnot, and he was busy putting up wood for the heating the home in the winter and cleaning up the yard and just working hard and getting lots done. But lo and of course, the whole time it's very nerve-wracking for both he and his wife, because they never know what time of day or night, whether it's going to be this night or tomorrow or next week or next month or maybe never. But you just never know when these folks are going to come and, you know, smash your door down, because they do like the element of surprise, and they don't just come and politely ring the doorbell. And so, okay, sure enough, they came just about 3 weeks later on the 23rd of August. That's 3 days ago, I guess. And they did come and arrest him. So he is now in jail. We don't know yet which jail. There's a possibility of three different jails that he's in. And his wife has not yet learned his whereabouts. She's making calls. They won't tell her. They say, oh, you know, we have to, it's protected information. At first, I was abhorred to hear that. But she says, no, I could be anybody. I could just be a Antifa. I could be a reporter. They don't know who I am that's calling. I mean, of course, she is his wife, but it could be somebody else calling. So she was okay with that. And once he is wherever he is, I guess he'll write her a letter. And in Germany, the mail moves quite quickly, unless, of course, it gets held up by the jail people, if they can hold it up as long as they want. So that's the story right now. I don't know where he is. He's either in Stadelheim, Landsberg, or Bernau, and he is in jail, and we haven't heard from him yet. But here's the thing. I am, and others are, relieved that nobody got hurt, and the house wasn't broken down and smashed to bits, but that is really all very fortunate. And it is very fortunate that Alfred's wife was home, and she basically never left his side in this last 3 weeks, because she knew that they could come at any time and there needed to be a witness to the, you know, whatever's going on. It turns out she heard some commotion outside their door, and so she opened the door, and there they were already standing, three guys, three in, you know, of these thugs in uniform, police. And then they, you know, they're getting on the radio reporting to headquarters. Oh, the door's already open. And they didn't ring. See, this is a building where they already made it into the first door. They somehow had to get in. They didn't ring. Somebody had to open that door. Now, she did say that that door is rather easy to open with just, you know, some kind of jimmying, like they didn't have to smash it. But they did open it, a locked door already. And then they're in front of their home. And they had no intention of ringing or knocking. They were going to smash it down. It's just really fortunate that she was there. Then they storm into the house. They do not wait to be let in. They storm in. Where's Albert? Where's Albert? You know, just, and she's kind of just running behind them, saying he's in the garden. So they're running ahead of her. She barely can keep up to them, just trying to be present. They're just wanting to avoid him running. Now, he always made it very clear he's not running. And I think they do monitor and they profile everybody that they're about to come and pick up. They would have known that. And then two other of the policemen came from another angle in the yard. They were ready to ambush him no matter what happened. One of the things they had in their possession, which was very puzzling, was a spade, a rusty old spade. Now, this gave me cause for, well, it let my imagination run a little bit. This morning when I talked with my sister-in-law, she assured me, though, that she's been told that, yeah, sometimes they use that kind of thing to jimmy a door open, like just to pry it open. I mean, I would have thought that some other tool would have worked better.
Crowbar. But
to me, I thought, okay, you know, maybe that's their little quote-unquote weapon that they could plant on him should something happen to him, and to cover their behinds in an incident and say, oh, he was attacking us and we had to act in self-defense. I mean, I don't know. None of that happened. Nobody got hurt. But, you know, you never know. Police have been known to do that, have they not? They've been known to plant weapons on their victim and then make up a story about what actually happened, and particularly if there's no witnesses. So I'm just very, very happy that there was a witness, and that was Alfred's wife. She was there, and everything went basically without incident. So mm-hmm. I'll just pause for a moment and let one of you talk.
Miss Monica, I want to say we're getting ready to go to a break, but when we come back, if you will, you told me something when I talked to you the other day that was kind of alarming. You said they're sending Alfred to a prison where he has the other prison that he was released from. He had fellow inmates that liked him, respected him, and they were kind of like a de facto bodyguards, you might say. But they're sending him to a new prison where he's a total stranger. Red flags pop into my head like that, another red flag like that rusty old spade. I'm fearful, and I shouldn't even say that. I'm not trying to stir up fear, but I'm wondering, since he's such a hard case. I rewatched Cool Hand Luke the other day. Cool Hand, they kill Cool Hand Luke. He was in a chain gang. I wonder, since Alfred is a hard case, I wonder if they're getting ready to maybe make get his mind right, so to speak. When we come back from the break, if you can address that and maybe any other questions his sister Nancy has. But that's really been troubling to me, what you told me, this brand new prison. He's unknown to the fellow inmates. They may put some plants in there, et cetera. I'm like you, maybe my imagination's going wild. But when we come back from that break, if you can address that, we'll be going any second. Anyway, that's
he's definitely a hard case in their yes. in their lexicon.
Yes, he is a yeah. hard case. He certainly is.
Yeah,
there's
and there
that
is
music
the music
that we talked about. And as soon as we come back, if you will answer that question, if you want to, it's very alarming, and we'll bring Sister Nancy in. Be right back, folks. Hang on your seats.
This is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
Power, huh? Let me tell you something, boy. If I did give you power, you got nothing. Nobody gives you power. Real power is something you take.
Dear Blood River Radio family, we're going to go right back to Sister Braveheart. I'd ask her a question, and she's going to discuss the question I ask and make commentary on a very real concern out there we have for Alfred. That's about the new prison. Anyway, go ahead, Sister Braveheart.
Yeah, okay, Eddie. So you mentioned this, you know, that you said this word hard case, and it's true. They do consider Alfred worst case. And in fact, they put that into the newspaper after the trial in the summer of 2019. So when he had already been in jail for just over a year, he had to face another trial based, the charges were that the things he said and did during our trial the year prior. You know, later in the hour, I'd like to, or maybe even in the next hour, I'd like to discuss some of these things about the justice system, because in the first hour that you had with Dr. Michael Hill and Sam Dixon, they discussed that and, you know, how perverted and corrupt the justice system is. And it made me think all the time about our trial and how everything was inverted and basically the criminals were running the show. But back to this hard case or worst case, because that's what they wrote in the paper about Alfred Schaefer being worst case Holocaust denier and how he just did it out of pure hatred, you know, for the Jews, that he said these things. And what they do in Germany, they say that we know that the Holocaust happened, but yet we're lying, like we're saying it didn't happen, which makes us a liar. Like, this is how they put it. They pretend to read our minds, but he was the worst case. There it was, right? With English words in the German newspaper, but they often use English words to describe things like that. Worst case, Alfred Schaefer. Now, as far as the jail that he's going to, yes, the letter that he was sent was to show up at another jail, Bernau. Now, he hasn't been to that jail. He was in two different jails prior for his four-year sentence that he served and finished in July of 2022. He finished that sentence. He was in Stadelheim, which is right in Munich, and then Landsberg, you would say in English. That's where Adolf Hitler wrote his bestseller 100 years prior, or 100 years ago, we should say, right? Mm-hmm. Anyway, now they want to send him to this other jail. So yeah, he'll have to start over with people getting to know him and that kind of thing. But I'm not too worried about it. I think Alfred, he will be able to, I think, regain the respect very quickly from those around him. I think people are ready for learning these things that he, I mean, even when he was being arrested, he just talks the whole time. He just talks at them. He'll just basically say things like, you know, you go home at night, you tell your kids that you've just arrested a Holocaust denier, somebody who refuses to believe the lies anymore. And they call, you know, he says that you are on the wrong side of history, you're traitors to your people, blah. And he just goes on and on. And one of the fellows, apparently, according to my sister-in-law, was getting really furious and just telling him, oh, I'm telling you for the last time, I'm not going to hear any of this anymore. But Alfred just turns towards the others and carries on talking. So that's how his way of dealing with this. He just basically educates these folks the whole time, does not shut up. And he'll do that all the way to the jail and into the jail and to whoever does the strip searches on him, whatever dealings he has, he basically pocks their ears off. Now, it might cause them some wrath in the beginning, but in the end, like how it was when he was, you know, 2 weeks prior to being let out just over a year ago, they had dropped the mask mandate, so he was able to mingle with the other prisoners just in the last 2 or 3 weeks of his four-year jail sentence. He was able to mingle with the other orcs, as he calls them. And he says he is so happy that he didn't get released early, because that was the big harvest right there. What he saw and experienced was a total respect from prisoner and guard alike. And, you know, they were saying things like, well, Schaefer was right. And they were telling him, we need you on the outside. Guards were saying this to him, don't come back, we need you on the outside. You know, so they're all waking up, as he puts it. Actually, when he got out of jail, he realized, oh, they're not all waking up. And he had a very hard time. He had to, you know, really hold himself back from basically just addressing these zombies in the street the way he addressed the folks in prison. you know, if they have a mask on, basically he was just mocking these guards with masks on, saying, you know, to be beside you with that mask on, I feel like it would be the same as if I was beside you and I had your finger up your rear end and that you just think nothing of it. Like, really, he would just speak like that, and maybe in a little bit more, I'm trying to be polite, but anyway, yeah, so he had to really hold himself back when he came out of prison because he realized there are a lot of zombies walking around. But the prison population seems more able to grasp these things because they're there for one reason or another. They've had some kind of hard times. They seem to be able to wake up easier and faster. And then the guards, they see all this riffraff in and out of the jails, and they can see what's going on, other than, you know, there are always some among them that are total jerks and power trippers and whatnot, of course. So yeah, it'll be interesting to hear what's going on, but I'm not too concerned about it. I think that he's going to be fine. We don't know which jail he is in. It could be any of those three jails, either the two that he was in before or that new one that he was told to go to. My sister-in-law did not know. She thought she overheard them something about Landsberg, which is the last one that he was in where they all respect him. So it could be that he's there. We don't know.
One more question. We'll go straight to big sister Nancy. Now, I know you have other relatives there in Germany. I guess this is a dumb question. Have any of them come forth with any type of support, even though they're totally diametrically opposed to you and dear Alfred and your beliefs about the Holocaust and the Hola hoax and being, you know, for trying to protect the right race? Has any of them come to his aid in any way whatsoever, Sister Monica?
I don't think so. The ones that betrayed us, you know, years ago when they called the authorities, the first ones to call the authorities, we haven't heard from them, really. They are kind of out of the picture. We do have relatives on the other side of the family. I know of at least one of them who is sympathetic to us, and I imagine I'll be talking with her at some point in the near future. In fact, you're reminding me that I should probably give her a call. And she, you know, so we, not everybody is on the same page, but I have many, many, many relatives. We have many relatives, I should say. But those who did the deed of calling us out in the first place and making a file be opened on us and basically.
And that's unforgivable. What they did is totally unforgivable. I mean, I could not forgive that.
Yeah, it is unbelievable. But, you know, they believe they were doing something good. These people are so programmed, so very programmed. It's that generation that got it the worst in Germany. They are a little bit younger than me, and they really got hammered hard. Like my sister-in-law, who's a little bit older than us, she says that when she was in grade school, it wasn't really that strong yet, this programming and indoctrination. It had started, but then it was a few years later, the kids going through the school system, then they just got hammered. They have been so programmed. It's almost like they were hardwired with this program of them being, you know, the Germans were evil and they did this Holocaust and never again, never again. And that mantra, and it was hardwired worse in for them than anywhere else. I mean, we were programmed here, and I know that the people in your country were programmed, but I'm telling you, the Germans, they were at the heart of this ultra re-education program. I mean, a la George Orwell, that it was hardwired into their brains. So those relatives that betrayed us, they think they were doing good. I want to just repeat those words to summarize how they see the picture. Germany was bad, now Germany is good. You are making Germany bad again. And let me just add a few words. So Germany was bad, we did the Holocaust. Now Germany is good. We're bringing in all these poor refugees into our country. We're being so nice and so good. You are making Germany bad again by you know, saying that the Holocaust didn't happen. It's the racist and blah, blah, you know, all these things. So that's how they see it. That is how they see it. And like I said in my last word in the trial, I wasn't angry at them. I'm angry at the people who did this to them, this re-education program. Yes, and I do hear the music. And then we should let Nancy talk.
Yes, I'm going to ask Miss Nancy a question when we come back and let her roll. Be right back, people. This show is just going, broadcast going way too fast.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm John Schaefer. A shooting at a high school football game in Choctaw, Oklahoma has left one person dead and three others injured. Choctaw Police Chief Kelly Marshall says it happened during the third quarter of a game between Choctaw and Del City High Schools, and a large crowd saw what happened. One of the victims, a 16-year-old boy, later died. The other three were treated at a hospital and released. No one is in custody. Boston Mayor Michelle Wu is speaking out after a shooting that injured seven people Saturday morning during a parade.
Treasured community event has been disrupted by acts of violence from those who had nothing to do with the event, and there's no, absolutely no excuse.
The shooting happened during the Juvert Parade, which is part of the city's Caribbean Carnival. Several arrests have been made. The Price is Right game show host Bob Barker has died at the age of 99. His spokesman Roger Neal said in a statement, "It is with profound sadness that we announce that the world's greatest MC who ever lived, Bob Barker, has left us." It's reported Barker died at his home in Hollywood Hills of natural causes. Civil rights groups return to the nation's capital 60 years after Martin Luther King Jr.'s historic march to Washington.
Tens of thousands of people took part in the march and rally at the Lincoln Memorial. Among them was Martin Luther King III, who called the anniversary a continuation of his father's fight for civil rights and not just a commemoration.
We're coming together to say we must create the climate for America to move forward in a forward direction, not a backward direction.
President Biden and Vice President Harris will meet with members of the King family at the White House, and Biden will deliver remarks on Monday. I'm Jeremy Scott.
Recent Canadian wildfire smoke blamed for a major jump in asthma-related trips to the emergency room. The CDC says researchers found that ER visits were 17% higher than usual in areas where wildfire smoke enveloped the region. This is USA News.
With warmer weather comes the opportunity for outdoor dining, with more people now bringing dogs along to their favorite restaurants and cafes. But is this a good option? I'm Dr. Rena Carlson, president of the American Veterinary Medical Association, with a few tips. First, check ahead with the restaurant to make sure they allow pets in outdoor dining areas. Make sure your pet is healthy and up to date on vaccinations. Is your dog properly trained to sit or lay at your table despite the commotion around them? The noise and activity can be stressful, so if your pet is excessively barking, panting, or drooling, or can't sit still, these are signs your dog is better off at home. Bring Fido's toys, treats, and water dish, but don't share your meal with your dog. Finally, if you've never taken your dog out to eat, try going at a time of day that you will know will be quieter to see how they react, and be prepared to leave early if needed. There's more valuable pet information at avma.org.
In the morning. Smells like victory. Some folks are born,
made. Dear Blood River Radio family, since time is short, we got a long ways to go in a short time to get there. I've got to ask Big Sister Nancy some questions. It's going to tie in, it's going to mesh perfectly with what Sister Monica said, specifically about brainwashing our people. So we talked about, I'd ask Sister Monica if any of the relatives came to Brother Alfred's aid, and some of them have been brainwashed so much. She said specifically the people a little younger than Monica and Alfred, and they have been brainwashed so bad. They said what the old Germans were bad for getting the Holocaust, and they were bad for resisting this massive integration. But and they're wanting Alfred and Monica want to make them bad again. Brainwashed now. And I'm getting ready to go to Big Sister Nancy. I remember in 1957, that communist son of a bitch, may he rest in hell, Dwight David Eisenhower, he sent troops. He sent the 101st Airborne Division bayonets affixed into Little Rock, Arkansas to integrate Little Rock Central High School against kids. Put bayonets against high school kids, junior high school kids, parents. Then, okay, fast forward to Oxford, Mississippi, when the JFK sent troops into Oxford, Mississippi. He federalized the National Guard. There were some people shot, I believe, killed in Oxford, Mississippi, fighting integration, high school kids, college kids, parents. Okay, then I'll go over to Tuscaloosa, Alabama, where the sainted JFK, may he rest in hell, sent troops into Federalized troops in Birmingham, in Tuscaloosa, at Bayonet Point to integrate those schools. Okay, now let's come forward 50, 60 years from 1957, 1961, 1963 in Tuscaloosa. Though the very offspring of those high school kids, college kids that fought and put their lives on the line, some of them were killed, also like Kent State later. But those very the children, the offspring of the kids that fought so hard to resist integration, now their graves, their memories are pretty much spat upon by their children, their grandchildren, and they're called evil, haters, racists, homophobes, anti-Semites, because they've been brainwashed. From now, they're brainwashing these kids, Sister Nancy, in pre-K, 2 or 3 years old. So take off on that, if you will, Sister Nancy.
Well, all I can really say is that you're absolutely right. Of course, we've seen that. I guess more and more these people are very. I objected to this years and years ago with what they were teaching in the schools, teaching sex education. I think starting in the kindergarten. Well, of course these kids are going to be sexualized and their brains are going to be social engineering. And they started that probably 30 years ago in the school system. Yeah, you're right. Of course, the people who lost their lives fighting integration, and they are frowned upon and laughed at, and it's very discouraging for people who are, I guess, some people. I don't know if the masses of people even remember what happened.
If they do remember, it's been they remember from what they've been told by their communist grammar school teachers or communist high school teachers or communist college professors. But that shows you how effective brainwashing can become. And don't ever say it can't happen to your children, your grandchildren, because it's happened to probably 75%. I might say all the young people below 50 years old. That have come up in the public school system. They have been, and even in the private church schools, like where my grandson went, Baptist school here in Memphis, Tennessee, a highly esteemed Baptist school, they taught some things that were Marxist, race mixing. Just totally, I used to have to deprogram my grandson when he come home from school about how dear the Indians were, how the blacks had it hard. But anyway, also, Sister Nancy, you had some other things you would like to discuss. But go ahead and take off on that.
Just before going into those other things, I just want to add a comment there about the parallels of what you just talked about with this integration, forced integration, and then the Germans. This separation of the generations, this, you know, indoctrination of the kids to basically then hate their parents and grandparents. And the same thing. It's just
so hate their grandparents.
Tragic. It's a cutting off of your roots. And, you know, if you cut your roots, like if you cut the roots of a tree, the tree dies. And it's just absolutely tragic. It's criminal. And this is what they do through the public fools system is they alienate the children from their parents. Anyway,
Karl Marx said just what you said. Karl Marx said, we will separate the young people from their past. They will have no past. We can that way, therefore, we can mold them into good Bolshevik, Judaic, Satan worshiping communists. And that's exactly what they've done. Make no mistake, this is a Jewish communist takeover we've had in the United States, in Europe. Germany, the United States being at the epicenter of the takeover, and there's only one way to reverse it. You can't vote we can't vote our way out of it. These people have to be cleaned out. We have to follow the example of our enemies set for us in the Soviet Union from 1918 on to the early 60s. We have to follow their example when Alexander Solzhenitsyn said these communist Judaic bastards murdered. Solzhenitsyn said 66 million whites in the 400 gulag centers in Siberia. Back to you, Sister Nancy.
Okay. Well, this is it's on the same subject, really, but it's a little bit different. I received a letter from Leslie Borey, and he's He's a Canadian prisoner. He really deserves for us to write to him. I generally do not write long letters. I generally send postcards. And I did send him a postcard with a little puppy on it. And he was happy to get it. And I would encourage anyone out there to write to our heroic prisoners.
Do you have his address, Sister Nancy?
Yeah, and I thought I'd read the last paragraph.
It's on my website, Eddie. The address is on my website.
That's right.
So that's freespeechmonica.com, and the Monica with a K, and there's a page of political prisoners. So that's where you can find Leslie Borey's address. Go back to Nancy. Sorry about interjecting there. I just needed to tell people that.
Well, he's in for bad thinking, bad thoughts, and he's does not have a, really, I don't think they've even set a trial date. I mean, they're just holding him. It's really, it's just, you know, Canada's, actually, they started out years ago by prosecuting people like Ernst Zundel. I always thought they were more dangerous than America, but I think America is certainly following in the footsteps right now.
Very
but anyway, I just thought I would read just the last paragraph, because I think it would encourage you all listeners to try to just send him a card. He says, thank you again for your postcard.
Hey, Sister Nancy, explain to our listeners who Leslie Borey is, because we have a lot of people listening who have never been on before.
I'd rather have Monica do that. I think it would be
okay,
easier.
Because we have a lot of people that don't know who he is. So if you will, before we read the letter, Sister Monica, tell our, especially our new listeners, who Leslie Borey is.
Thank you. He is a politician, an honest politician. That is how he calls himself. He has never achieved a win in an election, but he has run in many elections as an independent. And I think in one or two elections in a party called the Maple Party or something like that. I'm not sure, but basically as an independent, that way he doesn't have to stick to anybody else's platform, and he has called out our enemy. This is why he is in prison now, and he has actually, I mean, he's in prison for words, just to make that perfectly clear, for videos that he has put out online and whatnot, and he put big banners in front of his home, and he's on a busy street, and these banners basically called out the Jews and what they are doing to us. So that's what he is. He's a political prisoner, just like Alfred is, just like I was, but just slightly different nuances of charges and whatnot. But like Nancy says, he hasn't yet faced the courts. Like, they're just holding him. They don't even have a date set yet. This could go on for years. They just want him locked up. So that's what's going on. And back to Nancy now.
Sister Nancy, if you will, tell them how they've totally reversed the charges he's made, that Leslie Borey, tell the audience about how he has exposed the Jews for like genocide and things like that. Now they're go take up right there when you get through, Sister Nancy, but please don't leave that part out.
Well, there again, I think Monica is more up to date on what he's actually done.
So basically they are. We do have a new law in Canada now. It's, you know, the Holocaust denial law. It was embedded in.
Oh, there's the music, Sister Nancy.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, Sister yeah. Monica. We got to go. This out. Right. Be right back, folks, after this break.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
My name is Christian Knuckles. I prophesy there will be no revival until the church leadership stops lying to the people. I'm the first soldier of the spiritual body of Christ, the line of Judah, the Confederate Church of Christ. I'm here to declare The lion will lie down with the lamb when the lying stops. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries and brought to you by ConfederateChurchOfChrist.com.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard-right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Dear Blood River Radio fam, we're going to go straight to Sister Braveheart Monica. She's going to tell us about what's going on with, she's going to tell us who Leslie Borey is and what's going on with him right now. And then Sister Nancy is going to read the letter that she got from prison. Go ahead, Sister Braveheart.
I'll try to keep this really short because we got to get to that, that Nancy wanted to read that last paragraph of his letter. But so he's being charged with incitement to hatred, right? And the other charge is Holocaust denial, because we do now have a law against Holocaust denial in Canada. They snuck it into the last year's budget bill. Please tell me what a piece of history, to legislate a piece of history and, you know, enshrine it into law. What does that have to do with a budget bill, I ask? But anyway,
well, it's a trillion-dollar industry. It's a trillion-dollar industry for the, yes. For, well, hell, yes, it's a budget thing. The Jews have made trillions off of that since World War II, since 1945. But go ahead.
Oh, of course. Why didn't I think of that?
You knew that.
And they did also threaten to charge, I guess he had rumblings from through the lawyer, through the system, I guess, that they were going to charge him with genocide. And yet he's just warning us about the genocide that the Jews are conducting on us with the bubonic Jew jab, as we call it, the vaccine.
I don't remember
the
that, the bubonic plague.
So anyway, he also really knows monetary stuff. He has obviously read a lot about National Socialist Germany and, you know, how they did their money system, separating themselves out of the Rothschild money system, usury, all that stuff. He knows a lot, and he's writing books. He's sending them to me. I'm going to publish his writings. I'm just trying to figure out how to do this. I'm having a little technical difficulties. But anyway, over to Nancy. I don't want to take up any more of this time that she wanted to talk.
Okay, it's just a short ending of to the letter, which I said that I had sent him a postcard with a puppy on it. He said, "Thank you again for your postcard. It came at a timely moment. I will now stop dreaming of temporary freedom and time with my wife and running in the 2023 federal election before my trial, where I will be given years in prison for daring to speak and suggest that murderers and jailers of a nation be brought to justice, and for daring to disagree publicly with politicians and Jews about World War II history. In the holding cell today, where I had my video bail review hearing, on the wall was some graffiti. It said, in quotes, 'Greatness is not given or taken, but is thrust upon you like a weight. You stand or you crumble.'" End of quote. Today, a thoughtful lady and a puppy helped me to stand, but I reserve my right to crumble a little once in a while. Funny stuff, with lots of true patriot love to you, Nancy, and all of the best. Again, I suggest we take the time to send him a card, if nothing else, but to give these prisoners a reminder that we support them no matter what we can. Maybe we can't do much, but send them a postcard. And I have one other thing, but I don't think we have time to really cover it. I was going to read a paragraph and have people guess who wrote it, but I don't think we have time to really do that.
We've got 8 or 9 minutes, so go ahead.
Okay, I was just going to let people hear this paragraph that was written. It was an autobiographical book, and I would see if people would guess who wrote this. He says, "Even when I was kept busy by the cares of power, I needed only a few lessons to obtain a pilot's license. I once fell from a height of 50 meters, but that did not stop my flying. Motors give me a new and great sensation of strength. A horseback ride on a magnificent sorrel is also for me a joyous interruption. It's a joyous interruption, and fencing, to which I devote myself, often with remarkable physical benefit, gives me the greatest satisfaction. I ask of my violin nothing more than serene hours of music, of the great poets such as Dante, of the supreme philosophers such as Plato. I often ask hours of poetry, hours of meditation." This is stated by a much maligned man, and I just wonder if our audience could even guess who this highbrow, classy person who is much maligned could be. Do you all know who he is?
I would say Chief Air Marshal of the Luftwaffe under Hitler. I can't remember. I can't remember his name right now.
You're thinking about. You're not thinking about Otto Skorzeny. No, it's not Otto Skorzeny. Go ahead.
He was the chief. He was Chief Air Marshal. Reich Fuhrer. He was the head of the Air Force.
He was the ace in the First World War. You're talking about.
I can't remember his name.
I studied him closely, and I cannot think of his name right now. I know who you're talking about. He was a very classy man too. Many of the Germans were very well educated. But I was trying to make a point here that as maligned as some of these men have been, there's so much that we do not know about them, and so much that we need to respect them for. To fall in line, and like my mother used to say, you don't want to be like everybody else, Nancy. We want to think about things, inquisitive. Well, shall I go ahead and give the answer to this?
You may as well. I don't think I'm going to be able to get it.
Okay, this is a Benito Mussolini.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You told me that the other day. That's right. Hermann Göring, who I was trying to think of right. Hermann Göring. Just tuned it in. Yeah. Hermann Göring was, I believe he was the chief, he was the Air Force chief in World War II under Hitler, the German Air Force. Yeah. I would have guessed, yeah. But he was.
Yeah, and I think he was an ace in World War I, too. I think Göring was.
I believe you're right.
Did he guess Mussolini?
No, he was. He answered me. He said that I couldn't think of Göring's name. Hermann Göring. I cannot believe I could think of that. I guess I'm just getting old. But Benito Mussolini. Wow.
I'd like to note a couple of things. I made a couple little boo-boos when I was talking about the interview with Robert Kennedy Jr. I didn't read my notes very clearly. I accidentally said that George Kagan had forecast Russia would not live with NATO, and that was George Keenan. George Keenan. I didn't read it properly. And I also said that Poland had nuclear launchers that were 12 miles from Moscow, and it was actually minutes. Didn't have clear notes. And I said that John Kennedy's assassination had the fingerprint of Havana casino owners, and it may have had, but I think Robert Kennedy thought it was more of the Cubans in Miami. There's so many different theories about who actually killed John Kennedy. It's really amazing. So many different, it seemed like they crop up yearly, new theories.
You know, the one thing I've noticed about RFK Jr. is good. It's the just the golden nuggets he talks about. His book, The Real Fauci, that I've read some of. As good as he is, one of the best sounding guys there is. You know what? You can set him on fire. You can put him. You can burn him alive, and he will not name the Jew. In my opinion, that's why he keeps talking about the Cubans. As Rich said last week, was it the Cubans that had the autopsy report falsified? Was it the Cubans that controlled the United States Supreme Court? Under their official report of what happened to the assassination. Yeah, I mean, I think, in my personal opinion, I think RFK is just like you hear all through the New Testament, for fear of the Jews, for fear of the Jews. How many times we see that in the New Testament? How many times we see it now, for fear of the Jews? Watch any politician on either side of the aisle come out and blast the Jews and expose the Jews for the evils that they are, have been, and will be, all the crap they own, the CDC, you know, the Food and Drug Administration, they own all the pharmaceutical companies, they own everything, the media. On and on, you can't think of one damn thing they don't control. And they know, and RFK knows, if he comes out and tries to expose them, they're going to deal away with him one way or the other. You know, they'll either break him, put him in prison, but they've gotten by with so much, they're probably not even afraid of him anymore.
And another one that I might be wrong on this, but I seem to recall that he's toting the climate change lie as well. Have you heard that? I don't. Yeah. So, I mean, those two things right there, that's it. Like, he's controlled opposition. There's no way that I would pay any heed to, that he might save America or anything like that. Like, there's no way.
And he waves that flag. He waves the flag, the Israeli flag.
Yeah. No, he's controlled opposition through and through. And boy, my brother, he doesn't have very good words to say about him. He just says he's a traitor to his uncle and a traitor to his father, like, you know, who killed his uncle and whatnot. So anyway, we can't vote ourselves harder, vote harder to get out of this mess. It's going to take some other ways.
Mm-hmm.
But Nancy, I just want to say before the hour is out, all the best with your cleanup. If you've got trees down and limbs down, and here you are. Yes. I hope you get some help cleaning that up. Don't be sort of killing yourself.
Well, I'm concerned right now about the cost that I have incurred as of last night's storm, because I'm going to have to hire someone to do some work. But a lot of my trees have fallen into my neighbor's yard, and I think they're wanting me to pay for it. And it's a lot. It is a lot of limbs.
In Tennessee, you don't have to worry about that. I don't know what the law is in Kentucky, but in Tennessee, I've been told you can have a tree. You can have a California redwood in your yard. If it falls over and crushes 12 houses, you're not liable. It's just too bad, so sad for those people. I don't know how the law works in Kentucky. But,
well, I think that's what I heard too. But you know, this lady is already telling me, well, we don't have a lot of money. My mother's in blah blah blah. And, you know, well, she's already telling me that she's not excited about paying. And I said, well, I feel bad about it. But it's going to be thousands of dollars. There's a big project over in her yard. Wow.
Well, you know what, Sister Nancy, you need to get you a chainsaw, start cutting all that wood up and sell it this winter, make you a fortune. So, well, y'all, Sister Nancy dropping off, and she did a great job. She's almost sitting in the dark, had a tornado or something come through there. That's why her voice sounded funny. She was on a cell phone, running an electric generator. But she will be back with us hopefully next week. So you go and take care of what you've got to do, and Sister Monica, and we're going to bring the bitter ender on, and they're going to finish out the third hour. Be right back, folks. Don't go anywhere.